I'd like us this morning to continue our study in the Gospel of Christ by Isaiah, the 55th chapter, and in particular the opening words, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." Now, in order for us to grasp the full weight and significance of this invitation which God graciously sets before us in His Word, it is necessary for us to review, for our own benefit as well as for those who may be visiting with us this Lord's Day, the context in which these words are set. Isaiah chapter 53, which is perhaps one of the best known chapters in the entirety of the Old Testament, is perhaps best known because it speaks so clearly and so eloquently of the sufferings of Christ. And we can scarce read those words but that we are engaged with an understanding of the enormity of what Christ has done for His people, and that the sufferings which He endured brought about not merely a testimony of one who was willing to lay down his life for a friend, but actually and did finally and totally accomplish all that God had purposed in the salvation of sinners. That it was because He took our place as our covenant head, as the one who was for us man, and that in His own person He bore the fullness of the penalty of our sins, all our sins fixed upon Christ, that the wrath of a God against all unrighteousness, a holy God, a God who will in no wise quit the guilty, that this God poured out all His anger upon His own Son in order that those who trust in Him should have eternal life. That's the message of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 54 then begins to unfold to us the privileges that belong to those who do belong to Christ, who are able to say that though I am a sinner, I do trust Christ, and that work which He has accomplished upon the Christ I do hold to be done for me. Even as Paul, summing up his understanding of the message of salvation, said, "Who loved me and gave Himself for me." If God did not spare His own Son, how will He not with Him freely give us all things? So Isaiah chapter 54 lays before us in summary the great blessings which follow in the great victory of Christ over the penalty of sin, even death, through His work upon the cross. That the anger of God is turned aside, not just temporarily, but completely and freely forever. That it is for me as in the days of Noah, as in the waters of Noah, when God says He will not bring judgment to cover the earth ever again. No more will He bring the anger of His just judgment upon those who are in Christ. And not only will the anger of God be turned aside from those who do deserve it because of our sins, but God will also pour blessings untold upon the heart and head of all those who are in Christ. He gives to us the picture of one who was left, a woman left because of her own adulteries by a faithful husband. And because of her own sinfulness, she is barren without child. And God graciously in that picture shows how the children of the barren woman shall be greater in number than those who have children by normal means. A picture of God's great blessing to those who are in Christ. That God raises up children supernaturally. Now, as we have come thus far in the study of God's Word, the heart and the head cry out, Lord, is this Word meant for me? Am I meant to hear this? Are you speaking to me? Now, in the last few days, if you've watched the news, you'll have seen that tornadoes have swept through Florida. And I'm happy to be able to report that I had an email from Fred and Flo saying, although they were very near, some 4 miles away from where the tornadoes affected Florida, they themselves are unharmed and they're well. We rejoice in God's gracious provision. But for those who are in that area, perhaps they're asking themselves, well, is there going to be any assistance to help rebuild after a natural disaster? And so today, as I understand it, presidents declare certain counties in Florida to be emergency areas and that therefore they will gain federal funding to help rebuild. Now, for those listening in Florida, no doubt that's important for them to hear. Is this message from the president meant for me? Do I live in one of the counties affected by the tornado? Will assistance be given to me? And for ourselves this morning, the most important question that we could turn to the Word of God with this morning is this Word meant for me? If it's important for those who have lost their homes in Florida to tune in to their radios and say, is the President speaking to me? How much more when we come to the Word of God and we hear these words, come! Is God speaking to me? Has the decree gone forth from the Holy One of Israel that God from the Holy of Holies, from the presence of His elect angels, sends forth a great decree to say to those who are afflicted by sin, who know that they are under the just judgment and sentence of death, that they should come to a God who is gracious, to a God who delights to show forgiveness. Is this message meant for me? And the very first thing that I would point out to you for the comfort of your souls, come, all you who are thirsty. Jesus Himself tells us that there are certain men that are blessed. And in those Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Brethren, we know that when we experience hunger and thirst, if you are really hungry, you don't find it as something that is pleasurable. You don't think to yourself, oh, I'm glad that I am so hungry at the moment. Boys and girls, if you've been out on a hot, hot day and your mouth is absolutely dry, you don't think to yourself, what a blessing it is to be so thirsty. But I would have you know that it is indeed a blessing if we take what the Word of God, which Jesus Himself would have us know. Boys and girls, if you've been hungry or thirsty, really hungry or really thirsty, stop and ask, just speak to your own souls. God is telling me something even through this natural desire and being hungry. that when I am hungry and thirsty for righteousness, it is a blessed thing. When God lays upon my heart such a knowledge of my want that I cry out, I am hungry, I am thirsty for the things of God. And just as our physical bodies crave sustenance, we feel those pangs of hunger in our stomach so that we feel, I must eat, I grow faint, I grow weary, I must drink because I'm so thirsty. So God lays this urge upon our souls and says, now, but you must thirst and hunger after the things of God. And here is the gracious invitation that if any man is hungry and thirsting for the things of God, then God issues a decree which he will never revoke. He says, come to me, all you who are thirsty and hungry. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. You are bid come. And all you are bid to bring with you is your hunger and your thirst. We examine our own hearts. We see our need. We know that we are without. And God says, come. All you who are thirsty. Now, secondly, we see the grace of the gospel. It is without money and without cost. Can you hope to buy God's favor? We need to understand these very words in the context in which they are set. And if you're not familiar with Isaiah 53, I will not read it to you now, but turn to it and you will find there the greatness of the sacrifice of Christ. Do you presume to think that you can purchase your salvation by your deeds? Could you ever earn what Christ has purchased for you? Is that even remotely possible in your thinking? Would you despise what God has done and think of it as something of such little value that your efforts could purchase from God? He stands really ready and willing to give you freely. From what you know of the gospel message, I would point you to the cross of Christ. I have to do that because here is the simplicity of the message of the gospel. Here is Christ hanging upon the tree. Is it that he merely sets before us an example of selfless love? Well, of course Christ does that. But to say that that is all that Christ does is to damn him with faint praise. The infinite burden was borne by the only one who could bear it, by the Son of God himself upon the cross. Do you think then that God is to be bought off lightly with such things as you are able to present before him? All your fine deeds, all your fine sounding words, will that be sufficient? Well, tell me, who has made you? Who has formed you? Are we not expected and required to give God all that is within us anyway? You see how the heart of man grows so proud. Almost as though we could persuade ourselves that we have something that God needs from us. That we're not under any great obligations towards him at all. And therefore, though we have lived 20 years, 40 years, 60 years without God, we think at the last, now I will turn to God and God's going to be pleased with me because from now on I promise that I'm going to do a lot more good in my life. As though I could make up for 60 years of living without God. Or perhaps we think of God as a sort of incompetent policeman. Police are called to the scene where a murder has been committed. There's the person with a knife in his hand and the blood dripping from the blade. And the policeman says, "Well, don't do it again. It's all right, really." We would not be impressed if our law enforcement officers took such an attitude towards crime. Do you think that the just judge of all the universe is less competent? The fact is that we cannot earn our salvation. If your heart cries out to find salvation, it's not to be purchased, but it is to be granted freely, without money and without cost. And thirdly and finally, we are told what we must do. We are told that we should seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. It's the message of the gospel. It has not changed throughout history. To confess that we are sinners in need of God's forgiveness. When Peter preached at Pentecost and called men and women to confess that they were sinners, he preached a gospel message. It was a message about Christ. It was a message about the death of Christ. It was a message about the resurrection of Christ. And as the Spirit of God was poured out at Pentecost, men and women in their thousands came to faith. And they were pricked within the heart. They said, "What must we do?" "Repent," said Peter. It's exactly what Isaiah said. It's the same message. There's not a different message in the Old Testament to that of the New. It's the same message. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. It is my task, therefore, to lay this upon you this morning, each and every one of you. I hope that you are all trusting in Christ. But I cannot say that I know that with great certainty. There are some of you that I don't know at all. Some of you who are somewhat unconcerned about the nature of your souls. Brethren, I say it with no other desire in my heart that you would know Christ. A day will come when the invitation will be sealed, and that those who are with Christ will be taken to be with him, and then there will be those who have rejected the message and will be found without him forever. It is not whether you are an elder of this church or a deacon that will save you. It is not whether you are a member or not. It is whether you are trusting in Christ. Have you repented of your sins? Have you turned to Christ? How do I know that this word from Scripture is set before me is for me? Or do you hunger and thirst? Are you weak and weary? because all those who know the weakness and the weariness of the flesh are bid come. All those who know what it is to hunger and thirst for righteousness are bid come. This message is for you. Forsake your wickedness. Turn your back upon living in the world and for the world. Turn your back upon your indifference to the things of God that keeps you away from divine worship, Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day, so that you're almost a stranger, even in the congregation of which you are a member. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord. Now here is the gracious promise of God. We recognize our own weakness, our own folly, your folly, my folly, our hardness of heart. And each one of us this morning says, I recognize that I am the person of whom Isaiah is speaking. Not that person out there, not that person over there, but me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. I am to seek the Lord. Not the person that I think of as being weak and weary, but me. I am to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let me forsake my wicked ways and my evil thoughts. What is God going to do about that? The Lord will have mercy. He will freely pardon. There is not a person in this congregation this day to whom these words cannot be applied. I am a sinner in need of God's grace. And so are you. Seek the Lord. Call on him. He will have mercy. He will freely pardon.